You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And on today's episode, we're taking a look at Marcus Williams, the deadline impending to get a long-term deal done with him before the 2021 season. We'll talk about the latest reports and what could happen as 4 p.m. Eastern time gets closer and closer. Then in our second segment, we'll take a look at Xavien Howard. Could the Saints potentially take advantage of a fractured relationship in Miami? What would it cost, both in terms of trade compensation? And we'll talk about the money and why Howard wants a new contract. And then we'll wrap up with Top 3 Thursday. Continuing that trend, we'll talk about the top three corners that the New Orleans Saints could potentially look for in the trade market. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your co-managing editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL Podcast. We got all that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, y'all, as we get started with today's episode, the daily podcast here covering your New Orleans Saints. Just one more reminder, if you're listening to the podcast on your favorite podcast provider, make sure you're following or subscribed as we get closer and closer to camp here. Take a moment to drop a five-star rating and review if you're on iTunes, and be sure to like, subscribe, and turn on notifications if you're watching on YouTube. So to get started with today's episode, I'll also remind you to check out the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast hosted by Vinny Iyer, as well, wherever you get your podcast. So let's start with the news of the day, which of course centers around safety Marcus Williams. 4 p.m. Eastern time deadline to get a long-term extension done and have Marcus Williams not play 2021 on the franchise tag and therefore becoming a free agent at the end of the season. That deadline is ticking closer and closer, of course, by the second. But a report this morning from Adam Schefter may tell us everything we need to know already, as he outlined that of all seven of the players that are currently on franchise tag deals, that there are absolutely no, right now, out of any of those seven, no deals expected to be likely to be done before the deadline. So what does this mean for the New Orleans Saints? Well, it's kind of good news, honestly, for Marcus Williams. Marcus Williams is the one that has the opportunity to win in this situation. Marcus Williams will turn 25 4 days before the week one game against the Green Bay Packers. He hasn't entered his prime years of his career yet, which would probably be around that 26, 27, 28 year age range. And so he has an opportunity to really step up into a big opportunity next season and then step into a huge contract the next offseason, whether it's with the New Orleans Saints or potentially elsewhere. If a deal got done, be easy to say that the Saints won that deal, right? That they won this situation just simply by getting the deal done. I mean, you talk about the same reasons above, that he's a young safety that hasn't even entered the prime of his career yet, that he has an upward trajectory year over year. Their focus on retention, which is something that this team has always very much focused on, specifically since they started winning in the 2017 season, and they sort of changed their approach to the offseason, and no room for regret in that situation. Losing Marcus Williams feels like something that the Saints have accidentally allowed to happen in the past before. Remember Rob Ninkovich? Remember New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton and his comments around letting Malcolm Jenkins walk in favor of signing Jairus Byrd after the 2013 season? This could be another one of those situations if the New Orleans Saints allow Marcus Williams to end up leaving the facility at some point in the near future, whether it's next offseason or the season after. The fact of the matter is that the Saints also have the opportunity to franchise tag Marcus Williams again next season if they needed to. We'll talk about that in a second. But look, he had the fourth highest total interceptions ranking when it came to all safeties since 2017. Top 10 when it came to the highest total of passes defended, with 30, number one being 40 in that same span amongst that same position group. Dropped his missed tackle percentage from over 14% to just over 4% from 2019 to 2020, meaning that he only missed two tackles in all of 2020, all told. That's why I mentioned that this guy's trajectory is upwards. He's only gotten better and will only continue to get better. Now, again, like I referenced before, the Saints could still keep him after next season if they don't end up extending him or getting that long-term extension done before the franchise tag deadline, which is, again, 4 p.m. Eastern time today. If they're not able to get that deal done, they could still franchise tag him for a second time next season, but that could run them anywhere between $13 to potentially $17.5 million on that contract in a year where they don't even have 40 players on contract at the moment, and they're already over the salary cap for 2022 by $22 million. Now, there are already some built-in mechanisms to help them be able to knock that down. You can look at the roster bonus that they gave Ryan Ramczyk, the $8.5 million roster bonus for next season. They'll restructure that, and they'll turn that into a signing bonus and then save themselves around $6 million next season with that. And they have some other mechanisms built in that they can continue to extend and get all of that done. But trying to justify putting a second franchise tag on Marcus Williams will certainly be hard to do, at least from this point out. Now, if they decided to do that, they decided to go that route, then they'd probably have a way to figure it out, right? Like, they'd have a plan before they made that decision. But it's not a great decision for them to make as you try to project it moving forward. Now, if Williams goes out there and has a good but not great season, that might be the best case scenario for the New Orleans Saints, because then he could end up staying in New Orleans, not have as much competition, and not demand highest paid safety money out there. But if he balls out, then that means that he could end up forcing his way out of New Orleans, not on purpose, but his demand could force him out of New Orleans. There's a lot of safety needy teams out there, like the Jacksonville Jaguars and a few others that are out there that I think would be absolutely interested in Marcus Williams. There's some divisional teams that would be interested in Marcus Williams, and that would be able to put up some more money than maybe the New Orleans Saints will be able to in 2022. But the Saints have shown that they're one of the best in the league when it comes to player retention, unless they're $100 million over the salary cap and have to make some certain sacrifices toward the middle of their roster. But retaining their core and their top talent players, they've done a very good job of that over the most recent years. We'll see if they'll be able to do that, even if they can't get this long-term deal done with Marcus Williams, which, by the way, Adam Schefter's report is not an end-all, be-all report. Just because it seems unlikely that a deal will get done doesn't mean that it doesn't. So we'll be able to revisit that tomorrow as we circle back around and we actually know what happens, as we'll be beyond the deadline at that point to get an extension done. So still reason to watch, still reason to hope here that New Orleans Saints can get this contract extension done. One less thing they'd have to worry about throughout the season and going into next season. But if they can't get it done, then safety will definitely be a big storyline ahead of the 2022 year for the New Orleans Saints. All right, y'all, from one defensive back to another, we'll take a look in our next segment at Xavien Howard, whose fractured relationship with the Miami Dolphins is rumored to be something that the Saints may reportedly be interested in. We'll talk more about that as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. And if you're ready for some NFL action already, make sure you check out betonline.ag. They just put up odds for passing leader, passing yards leader, rushing yards leader, and receiving yards leaders in 2021. If you're feeling strongly about any of the New Orleans Saints, you might want to go check out those odds. 33-1 odds that Jameis Winston leads the league in passing yards, 16-1 odds that Michael Thomas leads the league in receiving yards, and 50-1 odds that Alvin Kamara leads the league in rushing yards. If you're pretty good about any of those, or you just really like the favorites like Patrick Mahomes at 6-1, go and check out betonline.ag. It's free to sign up for an account. And when you put down that first deposit so that you can start with the money that you need to bet with, you can go ahead and use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, so you can get a 50% welcome bonus on top of that. Put down $100, get an extra 50 from Locked On and betonline.ag with the promo code Locked On at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Huda Nation, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. And what if Xavien Howard could be the answer for the New Orleans Saints at cornerback? Is that something that you would like? If you were playing GM, let me know in the comment section below. Or, of course, you can always hit me up on Twitter at Ross Jackson Nolan. Join the Locked On Saints Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/LockedOnSaints. Now, there are a lot of rumors right now going on around the fractured relationship between Howard and the Miami Dolphins. He wants a new contract. And I've seen this question before. How could he be so unhappy with his contract when he's making a total of $75 million over the course of it, a contract that he signed before the 2019 season? But just looking at that number, $75 million, yeah, there's a good reason to look at that and say, well, why wouldn't he be happy? But that number doesn't tell the whole story. Remember, contracts are very intricate and are very nuanced. So let's get into the nitty-gritty here over on our side. So Howard wants a new contract, not just because of the fact that he's got 4 years that are remaining on his contract from 2021 to 2024. It's because his guaranteed money is gone by the end of 2021. This is his last year of guaranteed cash. After this season, the next 3 seasons on his contract, $0 guaranteed. So even though he's got over $10 million on the books in terms of his base salary for each of those seasons, not a penny of it is guaranteed to him. Nothing is promised. That's why Xavien Howard wants a new contract, because he wants guarantees, because he's playing in the NFL, because he's going to be 29 years old when all of his guaranteed money goes away. It's not a great situation to be in for any NFL player, let alone a cornerback that's asked to make tough cuts and that's asked to, you know, transition from backpedaling to running full speed and playing trail technique and making tackles. Not a great situation to be in. That's why he wants another contract. Remember, contracts are more than just average per year and total cash. It's the guarantees, it's the structure that you also have to pay attention to. So keep that in mind as we talk about why Xavien Howard wants out of Miami. It might not be because he wants more money. It might just simply be because he wants more money guaranteed to him, which makes a lot of sense. Now, the Dolphins could cut him after 2021, save everything but the $2.8 million that remains in terms of the signing bonuses that they've already paid out in cash and that still sit on the cap for the next couple of seasons. That's the problem for Xavien Howard. So, according to reports, it could take a first-round pick to get Xavien Howard away from the Miami Dolphins. But that feels unlikely to me. That's likely high in terms of the asking price, which often doesn't get met, and then they end up having to settle for something below that, especially if Howard decides to hold out and force the issue, which could work in the New Orleans Saints' favor. Let's say that the Saints were able to pull him out of Miami for, say, a second-round pick, and maybe a Patrick Robinson or another corner that they can send over to that side. They'd save a couple million dollars by trading Patrick Robinson. I'm not suggesting it. I'm just saying it's what a realistic package could look like. And then they move a second round pick. I think that you'd be pretty happy with that, because once you get Xavien Howard, in New Orleans, then all of a sudden you have the ability to be able to restructure his contract, switch up the distribution for the 2021 season. You could knock that money down and then therefore give him more guaranteed money in the long run. Remember, you don't have to do too much here. He's getting $0 guaranteed over the next 3 seasons. If you give him more than that, it helps to make him a little bit happier and help him feel a little bit more kind of in place, right? Feels a little bit more solidified in terms of what it is that he brings to a team and his team's loyalty to him. And this is, just like we were talking about the other day, a protection for the New Orleans Saints as well, because what if they can't get Marshon Lattimore to agree to a long-term extension after this year or during this year? They need to protect themselves and still have a number one cornerback option without having to dip into the draft. And speaking of the draft, the Saints did something really interesting in the 2020 draft that not a lot of people are talking about. For the first time in several years, the New Orleans Saints didn't trade any future selections, not a single one. They traded some selections within to be able to move up, right? A couple of thirds to move up in the third and then grab Paulson Adebo, for instance. But they didn't trade any of their 2021 draft capital. Usually, they live off of their future capital, just like they live off of their future cap pretty often. They didn't do that in 2021. They've also still stockpiled, or excuse me, going into 2021. They also stockpiled $11.6 million of salary cap space so far, which they could have used to sign a cornerback by now. Now, of course, negotiations go two ways, right? It's not just about having the money. It's about the player, the fit, the team, the fit, everything like that as well. But when it comes down to it, they've had the money to at least be convincing ever since Ryan Ramczyk's extension, maybe even since Marshon Lattimore's extension. So they've been stocking up capital in both the cash part of the conversation, but also in the draft part of the conversation. 9 expected selections going into 2022, which include several compensatory selections that they should be getting for guys like Sheldon Rankins, Justin Hardy's, I think, will cancel out with Tano Passanio's contract, Trey Hendrickson, Malcolm Brown, and then, of course, Terry Fontenot. So you have all of these potential picks that are going to be coming in or that should be coming in for the Saints. They've saved their original 7 selections for the season thus far. Looks like they've got the ammunition to make a deal. The question is, do they feel like the need at the position is such that they need to go out there and make that kind of move? That's, of course, what we don't know. And that's, of course, what we'll find out, seeing about whether or not they do it. But according to Jeff Duncan over at The Athletic, if Xavien Howard were to become available over in Miami and try to force his way out, he believes that it wouldn't be a surprise at all to see the Saints be involved in trying to land him and be one of the many teams that would be going after a, you know, cornerback that just led the NFL in interceptions with 10 during the 2020 season. And if the Saints were to pull that off and maintain Marshon Lattimore for the 2021 season as well, that's the one of the best, if not the best, should be in the conversation for it at least, the best cornerback position, best cornerback tandem going into 2021. And all of a sudden, this defense looks a lot better than the question marks that are surrounding it right now. All right, y'all, Xavien Howard isn't the only cornerback that the Saints could be interested in pursuing if they do decide to go the trade market route. We'll take a look at a few other names in our top three Thursday that they could look for when it comes to cornerbacks on the trade market. And we'll give you a quick update on New Orleans Saints. Let's call it the Louisiana Superdome, give it its old name back for a little while. Naming rights, big update today and more updates on the way. We'll talk about all that as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. So the Saints have options in their cornerbacks and you've got options in your protein bars. So stop grabbing those store-bought protein bars that look like rocks. And some people are literally microwaving in order to get through. Don't mess with all that. Enjoy yourself. Get something that you're going to enjoy over at BuiltBar.com, the protein bars that legitimately taste like candy bars. I've given these to a ton of people, let a ton of people try them. Everyone loves them. And they've got great flavors, something for everybody as well. You like coconut and chocolate? They've got you covered. Mint and chocolate, got you covered. Fruit and chocolate, got you covered. Peanut butter and chocolate. Salted caramel, one of my favorites. There's a lot over at BuiltBar.com and even more at Built.com too if you want to check out all the products that they have. They also have limited edition flavors that pop up over on the website all the time, like the recent Grasshopper Cookie, which is basically their version of a Thin Mint, which has all the flavor, but none of the sugar, or at least not all the sugar you would take in with a couple of those cookies. Only 4 or 5 grams of sugar in these bars, despite having 17, 18 grams of protein and a ton of flavor. I mean, these things are super enjoyable. So go and check them out. Best tasty protein bar on the market over at BuiltBar.com. Go ahead and grab yourself a sample box. You can get 2 of all 9 flavors, or you can mix and match a bit with a create your own box, or just get a full box of 18 of whatever flavor you absolutely love. Check them out. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, to get 15% off on your next purchase as well. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Let's get it, Who Dat Nation. We're going down the rabbit hole here a bit with New Orleans Saints potential offseason trade talk. Now, I've done this a couple years. I was really into the idea of the Saints trading for Teddy Bridgewater. Thankfully, that offseason they did. And then I kind of got into the idea of trading for Mike Gesicki at one point. I do this. So don't take too much out of this outside of the information. Just to know that these guys are available if the Saints were to be interested. This is something that I do often. I look around the trade market and say, hey, those would be pretty good fits. And the New Orleans Saints, for once, actually have the draft capital to be able to pull off something and a salary cap space to do it too. So we'll talk about my top three corners that the New Orleans Saints could trade for. Now, I was very close to putting Bradley Roby on this list. I'll use him as an honorable mention. I just don't know how much of a fit he is. I mean, 5'11", 194 pounds. He's a fit in terms of size, but in terms of skill and in terms of fitting the scheme, I just don't know how much he's really going to be able to contribute. But I did want to at least mention his name because his contract is mad cheap and he would be from a, you know, Houston Texans organization that's kind of purging their roster anyway. So he could be an interesting one that I'll use as an honorable mention here. But at number three, I'll go with Xavien Howard. Now, we just talked about him and kind of gave the update about his situation, Jeff Duncan's comments, could the Saints be interested, all of that. I put him as last on this list out of three, right? I mean, I guess if you're not first, you're last, but you know, it's only third. But I put him as third on this list, mostly because we've already talked about him, but also because, like, again, the salary cap issue, or excuse me, the contract issue might be a thing because you can do everything that we talked about in terms of extending him and distributing the money differently and then giving him guaranteed money and all that. But again, you still have 2022 that hump you have to get over there. Then you start getting into the $100 billion TV deal at the NFL. cashed out on this past offseason. And so the salary cap should rise exponentially starting in 2023, but specifically 2024, 25, those seasons should see a big skyrocket. So you could start to build contracts out that far. But, you know, he might get a better offer for more money sooner this year. And that might be something that he would be a little bit more willing to, you know, make the trade situation easier for the Miami Dolphins. Now, it's going to be up to the Miami Dolphins, right? Either the Dolphins want to trade him or the Dolphins don't want to trade him. He's not going to have much say in all of it. But if they are going to work with him to get a trade done, then that would be something to keep in mind. The good news, though, is that he's only 28 years old, so you can get a couple more years out of him for sure. And then have him opposite your 25-year-old corner in Marshawn Lattimore, who's still extremely young. At number two, I'm going to go with J.C. Jackson. I was second in the NFL last year with interceptions. I think he had five straight games with interceptions last year as well. He had eight. He was behind, of course, Xavier Howard with 10, who led the NFL in interceptions. He was given a second-round tender early on this year in the offseason. That tender ended up converting to a contract because no one submitted an offer sheet before the April deadline. So he right now sits on a contract that's $3.3 million unguaranteed 1 year, guaranteed 1 year, and that's it because nobody submitted anything on that RFA tender. So he is accessible, he is cheap, and you no longer have to give up a second round pick to try to trade for him. 25 years old, and you could give him a longer extension with some, you know, more guarantees and things like that as well. So he could be an option, and it might even help you open the door to the number one option, which for me is still Stephon Gilmore. And I know that it's a dream situation. I've told you in the comments and on Twitter and everything that it's a far-fetched idea, but it's something that could happen. I mean, if you look at the money certainly works. Stephon Gilmore would, if you traded for him, he would only take $7.735 million to his new team. The rest of it would exist as dead money for the New England Patriots. So if you offered the Patriots an offer for their younger star cornerback in J.C. Jackson, but they don't want to move J.C. Jackson, they could counteroffer and then add Stephon Gilmore to the conversation if they're concerned about Stephon Gilmore's willingness to play for them and a fractured relationship kind of existing there in New England as well. $8.5 million would be picked up by New England because the $13 million or so that is his salary cap hit here in 2021 is a combination of like roster bonus, workout bonus, and then signing bonus, which has already been, you know, accounted for essentially. And so that $8.5 million of signing bonus and restructure that they hit him with a couple of years ago, if I remember correctly, would end up being the large amount that they would have to pick up, but only $7.7 million, which would be the base salary, which is just over $7 million. And then the roster bonus, which is just over $700,000, would travel to his new team. So you could work out a short-term extension for him, 2-3 years, to be able to spread some of this out and also keep him around, again, protecting yourself in case you can't get your number one corner, Marshawn Lattimore, on a long-term deal after the 2021 season, during the 2021 season, whenever that extension could potentially happen. And he's going to turn 31 before week two of the regular season. So just going with a 2 or 3 year deal makes a lot of sense if that's the route that you wanted to go. So those are my three guys, Xavier Howard, J.C. Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, and then an honorable mention to Bradley Roby, who again, I'm not super sold on, but because of the salary cap, the situation, everything like that, I wanted to include him because he's a name that could get moved this offseason. Real quick, before we wrap up, I wanted to make sure that I told you a little bit. You know, I always promise you a little bit of lanyap, which, by the way, means something extra. I finally remembered to define that. Lanyap means something extra in our world over with the Cajun folks and the Creole folks like myself. That's all that means. When I tell you I'm going to give you a little bit of lanyap, I always try to give you a little bit extra in every episode. So here's a little bit extra for today's episode. The Mercedes-Benz, part of the New Orleans Superdome, Louisiana Superdome, came down today. Finally came down. Those words, Mercedes-Benz, came off of the Superdome because today was actually the contract expiration date for the naming rights deal between the owners or the company that manages the Superdome and Mercedes-Benz. Now, new naming rights have not been finalized yet. You can see more from Amy Just over at NOLA.com, who spoke with Gail Benson and the New Orleans Saints about it some more. But reports since March have suggested and indicated that it's going to be Caesars Entertainment that is going to be the that's going to own the naming rights for the New Orleans Saints or buy the naming rights for the New Orleans Saints. So we might expect something like Caesars Superdome or something like that by the time that the 2021 season actually kicks off. Remember that Caesar is also one of the three partners, official betting partners for the NFL as well, along with DraftKings and FanDuel. So a pretty good situation to get in for the New Orleans Saints there. So we'll learn more before the 2021 season begins, but Mercedes-Benz officially down from the Louisiana Superdome, we'll call it for right now, and Caesars expected to be the new naming rights holders moving forward, but nothing has been finalized just yet. All right, y'all. I appreciate you very much for being here for another episode of Locked On Saints. We'll be back tomorrow, our Friday episode, making sure we keep you up to date with everything that happened and all the big stories throughout the week. So in case you missed it, is going to be here for you to get you all caught up. And of course, we'll cover all the stories around Marcus Williams, everything else going on around your New Orleans Saints as we wrap up the fifth day of the week, as we continue on 5 days a week here with training camp right around the corner. Now that you're done here, make sure you check out the Locked On Today podcast hosted by Peter Bukowski, getting you up to date on everything you need to know around the world of sports in less than 20 minutes. Get it wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back with you tomorrow. And as always, I appreciate everything that y'all do to help support what we've got going on here over at Locked On Saints. Thank you so much. And remember, you can always find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.